On today's episode of The Good Work, Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe joins me to discuss All-Star Weekend. Was the soul left in Oakland? LeBron making his decision at the last second. Finals matchups we want to see in chaos. And will Anthony Edwards be the face of the league? All that and much more coming up right now. Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Vincent Goodwill, senior NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports. A bit of business before we get into the show. Today, we are on YouTube, so don't forget to subscribe to us. And also, wherever you get your podcast, rate and review us. Subscribe to us there as well. Today, we are joined by my man, G. Wash, Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe, national NBA writer, also the Celtics writer. G, we are both basking in the post-glow of All-Star Weekend, as in we are tired as hell. I guess you're tired as hell, too.
Yeah, we're all tired. Could use a couple days off, but the season resumes tomorrow, Wednesday. So, yeah, but San Francisco put on a good show.
Did they?
I think it was, you know what, I was expecting some mayhem. It was no mayhem, and getting around the city was not easy at all, not in the least bit, but It was a solid weekend. We'll see what happens next year in my hometown of Inglewood. I'm really excited about that. But yeah, I thought San Francisco put on a solid show. There was some definite doubts when people were like, San Francisco, are y'all sure about this? But no glitches, no issues besides, you know, the 35-minute TNT tribute, 42-minute tribute to Ernie and the guys. But other than that, I thought it was fine.
Look, I think the energy, the energy for All-Star. Gary, you were there Saturday when we did the media availability in Oakland. And then I walked out onto the floor where the players were throwing stuff into the stands and interacting with fans. That was much better energy than anything that we saw in San Francisco. Like, I'm of the firm belief, Gary, if you're going to do an All-Star weekend and you're going to say we're going to be part of the people, and we haven't forgotten about Oakland and everything else. That's not just an HBCU game. That is not just the All-Star practice and media day. You should have did Saturday night or Sunday. You should have did the whole damn thing in Oakland. I mean, I get Chase Center. It's big. It's sprawling. You get all the suites and everything else. But it felt soulless. It didn't feel like it had a whole lot of soul for the whole weekend.
The crowd was dead. It was not a lot going on. The crowd didn't get up. I think the most the most hype they got is when Too Short said, "What's my favorite word?" I mean, like, that was it. I mean, we all know what that word is, but that was it. Like, they didn't react to the game. They didn't. They reacted to Steph hitting the threes, but I thought the crowd was just like, it was a wine and cheese crowd. They were just there for this. They just were there to be seen and put on their best stuff and get on the camera. I was very disappointed with the enthusiasm of the crowd. I mean, obviously, all-star crowds are a lot of corporate sponsors and family and friends of people and people who are just going to be seen because they can afford it. Because unfortunately, not the common man or woman can afford to go to an all-star game. They just can't. And I thought Oakland brought the energy, it brought the kids, it brought what the All-Star game is about, reaching out to the fans and the community. And unfortunately, Oakland has had everything taken away from them as a city in terms of sports. They just lost the A's. The Warriors moved, you know, to the wine and cheese area of San Francisco. A beautiful facility, by the way, Chase Center is. But, you know, it lost part of that soul. And it's like when, you know, before your time, when the Pistons moved from Cobb Arena to the Silverdome, and people talk about Cobo Arena to the Silverdome, and you know how it moved, teams moved away from the city, and back in the day when Cleveland moved the Richfield, and it just seemed like they were playing in the burbs, the All-Star game. So it was a nice weekend, but you know. What can you do, man?
You can. No. Don't do that. Don't take the tone, Gary, of what can we do? Don't take the tone of, you know, like Kevin Durant just saying, I'm just tired of y'all complaining about it. Just stop. Let's just stop having it. No, that's not realistic. All-Star Weekend, second biggest moneymaker for the NBA outside of the finals and playoffs. Like, it's essential. It's going to continue. That's why the league keeps changing formats. Now, Gary, what did you think of the format? What did you think of Saturday night All-Star with this entire thing? Okay, I'll go to that later. I'm going to ask you the shock and surprise that you had, like I had when we sat in that media room. What was your reaction when LeBron answered a question about, LeBron, what are your plans for tonight? Well, actually, I'm not playing.
I'm good. I'm going to be on the sideline. No, I'm not putting on a uniform. No, I'm not posing with my teammates. I'm going to act like I'm the peewee coach, and these are my guys. You know, like, I think it was shocking, but it was not surprising. We all know LeBron's all-star participation, obviously, over the years has waned. I think he won the MVP in Chicago. I want to say in
Kawhi won the MVP in Chicago.
Which one did he hit the step back? You know,
that was in Cleveland. I think he did the step back in Cleveland.
Okay, I'm not trying to win another MVP. I'm through playing major minutes in this thing. I'll just come out there, give a little reverse dunk, show y'all what I would have done in the dunk contest 17, 18 years ago if I had entered, but I never did. But other than that, I just think his heart isn't there. So he shows up Sunday morning or even Saturday night. Who knows when he got into San Francisco. But then they just dropped the nugget that, hey, I'm not playing. It's a disservice to guys like Norman Powell, who was there, who participated in three-point contests. He could have given his roster spot to somebody else. But it's not surprising. I mean, if he didn't want to play, he doesn't have to play. Anthony Edwards didn't play. Giannis didn't play. But then just let people know. But I think that's just kind of LeBron making his statement on the weekend. Like, he's not going to come in and go out quietly.
Yeah, I was wondering, because we're going to get to Anthony Edwards in the last segment. But I was wondering, Gary, if the way that he did it was a protest in some way, was a way for him to disassociate himself from the process of the entire weekend. Like, maybe he didn't agree with the Rising Stars going in and playing a game and two separate games or whatever it was. Like, I wonder him not being in uniform, like, not trying to decode him, but I feel like that was a message. I just don't know what the message was.
Yeah, I agree. That could have been him saying, hey, Adam, I ain't with this. And this has got to change next year. You know, I mean, if he plays, he'll be an all-star next year. So if you want me to participate in L.A., in my, you know, not home city, but the city which he plays, mm-hmm. you're going to have to do a little bit better than this. I mean, you know, there's a lot of issues about whether the Rising Stars should have been in, but the players got to blame themselves.
Yep.
Don't have a game that has 397 points and like 200, the winner has a 211 points. I mean, it's embarrassing. Like, play hard for a quarter and a half. We're not asking four quarters. We're not asking playoff intensity. We're not asking Rodman against Bird. We're asking play a quarter and a half to where you don't feel like you want to go out there and get embarrassed. But letting, hey, Steph, shoot that 30-footer. I don't care. Like, you know, hey, you know, I mean, SGA, just go to the rim. Like, come on. Like, we all know. The crowd is dead because there's nothing to cheer for. I think we're all over the whole watching guys do uncontested dunks. They're pros. You know, we want to see competition. Will that ever happen? I think there's going to have to be, as you know, Vinny, some type of incentive. And it starts with a dollar sign.
Mm. Unfortunately, Gary, I don't think that would fly anymore. You know, like, there's always this resentment because the athletes make these exorbitant numbers. The numbers are going to go up anyway. Like, they're worth every dollar. You get what you can negotiate. I ain't mad at that at all. I think you wind up playing into the cynicism of fans if, like, that's the only incentive. I think, Gary, what people have tried to tell us over the past few days, like Steph kind of alluded to when he won MVP, he was like, you know, I forgot exactly the quote, but the quote says something, Gary, to the effect of, you know, not thinking about what the All-Star game used to be or something like that. I'm almost kind of disassociating, like, well, it's not going to be competitive anymore type of thing. And my friend David Dennis, our friend David Dennis of ESPN's Landscape, he was on Twitter saying the All-Star game has never really been competitive. You know, it's only, you know, 2001 and 2003. And it didn't take me long, Gary, to go back and remember 87's game went into overtime in Seattle, the Tom Chambers game. The 88 game might have been the best game ever in Chicago. Michael Jordan scored 40, Magic, Isaiah, like everybody was there. 93 in Salt Lake City went into overtime, like Karl Malone and Stockton. 97 wasn't like a competitive finish, but it had like a big comeback and Glenn Rice, you know, had scored like a record 21 in the third quarter. Like it was something that people could wrap their arms around. And even modern day, remember the, you know, remember LeBron in 2012, I think it was Orlando, Gary,
where he
wouldn't take the shot against Kobe Bryant and Kobe was fussing at him, you know, the whole time, like, come on, do this. Like, you know what I mean? Like it was a national toxic ass discussion that we try to pretend like those things didn't happen. And it's just not true. Like you said, it doesn't take much to entertain people. Just try. Like, don't insult people's intelligence. Just give them something to invest in.
I agree. I mean, I have the Steph quote right here. He says, I don't want to compare it to any other era because the world has changed. Life is different. The way people consume basketball is different. It's not going to look like it used to, but it can still be fun for everybody. I think this was. I had fun. Our team had fun. That's kind of all that matters. So, like, I think he is right about the way basketball is consumed. He is right about everybody has league pass. It's not a big deal. Someone talked to me and said, like, it used to be that when you saw the All-Star game, you were watching players from the other conference you did not see very often.
Right.
This is before everybody could buy league pass for $100. I used to get a kickoff as a kid, and that ended years ago, is when every player had on his own individual warm-ups. So you not the uniform. I hated that. I hated the – no. Have the All-Star uniform, East or West, but when they had all the colors of every team next to each other lined up for the national anthem. And it was like that was cool to see everybody in their own particular warm-ups. Like
that's a great
now,
point, Gary.
Everything is so sponsored. You got All-Star warm-ups sponsored by this person. All-Star, here's a new All-Star. Like, you know, if you want the fans to help design the unit, if you want to get fans engaged, have them help, have them maybe choose the uniforms or something like that. Like, it's just to the point where the NBA is mixing corporate. Mm-hmm. And then wanting to be serious. And you know, Vinny, we've been to many All-Star games. Sunday, these players are tired.
They're wiped out.
They get in Friday or Thursday, sometimes Friday morning. They've got marketing commitments from their shoe company, from their clothing line, from their sunglasses. Like I drove by when I was going to the hotel Thursday morning, there was a big like space occupied for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's like clothing line or something. Like he's got to be there. Dude's got to do their sponsorship stuff. They bring their families. So Mama and Tay Tay and Uncle Ray Ray is asking for tickets. Can I bring this person? Where are we going to eat? All that.
It's a lot of that.
And then Saturday happens. They go to this practice. Then they go to the Saturday night. You know. Then they go out. I mean, these dudes are in the streets. Let's be honest. They're going to the shoe company party or whatever. Then Sunday, so it's an anticlimactic end to the weekend. It's like, damn, we got to play. You know, some of these cats literally play Thursday night. Like Tyler Hero played Thursday night in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
So did Kyrie. Or I think Kyrie took that game off. He played Wednesday. All these, I mean, you're asking them to play a high-level game at the worst part, the end of the weekend. And at that point, you either, one, have to add to the rosters and have extra guys play to take some of those minutes, and two, have some type of financial incentive. And at this point, we all know how popular the in-season tournament went because of that $500,000. So if that's what get these dudes going, and as much as we don't want a dude who's making $63 million a year to be playing hard for $1 million, that's the world that we're in. Like, it is what it is.
No, that's a good point, Gary. Like, Steph Curry had a bunch of events. You know, like, we're hanging out late at night. We see guys in certain places, and we don't have to get up in the morning and prepare for a game. Like, it's the corporate sponsorships, like you said, I won't say it's gotten out of hand, but that's the reason it's the biggest moneymaker, because all of this corporate people put a lot of money into the NBA and they want to have their guys making appearances someplace, and basketball takes a backseat. And that's unfortunate. There has to be a middle ground. Maybe it's nobody plays on Thursday, right? Like Thursday's a TNT game and you lead it into All-Star. TNT's not going to have the games. The All-Star weekend, you know, NBC's going to have
maybe. Literally, there was five, and I know with the postponements, maybe that affected things. Yeah. With the fires, there was five games. Like, a third of the league played on Thursday. Like, if you're going to have this, and then you're going to have it in San Francisco, it's far for a lot of guys. Mm-hmm. Or you got games in Dallas. You know, I mean, you've got games probably on the East Coast. It just takes a lot out of guys because you're not playing. You know, it's just to me, it's a long flight. You got to get in your hotel, all that. Then here come the commitments because everybody wants to get something in Friday. I mean, Jaylen Brown literally went to Oakland to to meet with the city about having a business, open up a business education office. Then went to McClyman's High School to help dedicate a court to Bill Russell. Went to, obviously, that's Bill Russell's alma mater. So that was Friday. You know, then obviously I'm sure he gets out. Then Saturday's the practice. Then Saturday night. And then Saturday they want to, then after All-Star Saturday.
You want to hang out.
They want to hang out. These guys are human. And then their friends want to hang out there. It's with them. They're people. These guys aren't going to bed early and drinking warm milk and getting ready for the All-Star game. They're going to be out till 1, 2 in the morning. And they're going to go back. And then it's like, okay, get up. And they might even have a commitment Sunday morning before the game. Right? So it's just asking a lot because we've made it this huge convention. We've made it this carnival. And the players are the acts. And then we're asking them to play hard minutes when they're like, one, I'm not trying to get embarrassed. I'm not trying to get dunked on. I'll just let you know, there's no incentive. If you want to start doing the home court advantage for the winner of the, you know, like.
No, I don't want to do that. I do not want to do that.
Baseball tried that, and that was baseball players. Eventually, they canned it. They didn't like that. Because obviously baseball went through the same thing 20 years ago where dudes were just BSing and stuff and barely want to get an at-bat in. And then they put that up, and all of a sudden the players are like, oh, wait a minute, this is too much on the line. So there's no perfect answer. Everybody thinks they have a perfect answer. Like, I didn't like, but as someone said, Silver seems real consumed with tournaments. Like, you know.
That's why that quote.
Yeah, he's real consumed with tournaments. And the tournament style, nah. You're asking, first of all, playing to 40 is like for us playing to 5. Like, these dudes are pros, right? You're asking them to play to 40. That's too easy for them. You don't get enough exposure. Some of these guys don't get playing time.
They only got, I think Kay Cunningham from Detroit got 5 minutes.
Yes.
Of playing time. He's on the young team.
You barely saw him. And then, you know, the vets still want to play some. You're going to play Steph considerable minutes because he's playing at home, right? It's just funky. And I get it. Silver has an open ear. He'll listen to new ideas. So I don't think he's married to this. But hopefully some heads can go into a room, some real smart guys and gals, and figure this thing out and have something where this, let's go back to East and West.
Yes, I'm going to say this. And I want y'all to hear me. I'm going to pull Stephen A. Smith. Pull the camera to me. Turn the camera to me right now.
You look at Vinny.
No more Kevin Hart. I don't know what the NBA's fascination is. I don't know what white person says. Oh, this is going to get the people going. It does not. That is not a venue where you have a comedian cracking on the players that you're trying to showcase. That does not make a lot of sense. I have no problem with the Bay Area. I had no problem with In Vogue, okay? Because I clearly like the ladies of In Vogue, especially as a young lad. You know what I mean? Raphael Sadiq, one of my favorites. E-40, you already know what it is. Like, I like the entertainment portion of it. I'm not going to clutch my pearls because we just saw the Super Bowl where Kendrick Lamar did everything under the sun for 13 minutes during the biggest football game of the season. So miss me with that. But I'm with you, Gary. Adam Silver has his ear to the players. They clearly want this to work because they clearly keep changing things year after year. So for people who are saying it's not important, it clearly is important. And it's just unfortunate that the players, and this is, I agree with everything you said about the players being exhausted, about there being too much activity and everything else. I completely agree with you, Gary. My solution, you have everybody come in on Thursday, do their obligations. After Saturday practice, we don't see the players. Like, you, no sponsorships, no nothing. Let them get their rest for whatever's going to happen on Sunday so they don't have the excuse of, man, I'm fatigued. No, you've got all your stuff done out the way early. My biggest issue is the players pretend as if they are the reason that they are able to make $63 million a year. You're not. You are standing on the shoulders of players who are never able to receive the money that you are receiving now. The players of today have made a lot of withdrawals on the game, and they have not made a lot of deposits. This game is for the fans. It's not for the media. It's not for Twitter. It's not, don't cater to the mean and nasty people. I get that they are out there. I get that it's not pretty. But remember why you're there. You know, and that's my biggest thing. The old guys never will receive the money that these guys get. They'll never see it. They never were going to see it. The least you can do, you owe it to the game. You don't owe it to us. You don't owe it to Adam Silver. You owe it to the game of basketball that has made you a millionaire multi times over. There's another discussion, Gary, that can be had about basketball becoming a very elitist sport.
Very.
We got all these Nepo babies and everything else in the league now where we don't get people as much coming and getting out the mud. We got kids coming out of the system, so therefore they're so disconnected from it. But that's a story for another day. We're going to talk about that another day. But Gary, when we come back, I'm going to ask Gary some critical questions about what finals matchups we want to see. Welcome back to The Good Word. We're here with Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe. G. So I got a series of questions that I'm asking you. Finals matchups, right? Mm-hmm. So what is the finals matchup that you'd most want to see this June?
Wow. Probably Oklahoma City, Boston.
I think that's the most likely finals matchup, right? Number one seeds. Cleveland's the number one seed. Boston's the defending champion. They haven't lost anybody. I think the matchup that I want to see, Gary, is Boston-Denver. The two most recent champions, both of them romped through the playoffs last year in their championship years. Like, Denver wasn't challenged at all. And last year, Denver ran out of gas. Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic had a lot on them. Denver's a little bit different. Now, we get to see, you know, if Denver is one of those teams that we're going to look at, you know, years down the line and say, man, they had a great run. They got to the finals twice. They won two championships or whatever it is. Or in Boston, I want to see if Boston can show what they're made of against a superior player. That's not Luka Doncic whining to the officials during the NBA finals and committing his fifth foul in the third quarter. Like, I want to see that type of matchup there. Now, I just told you the most likely matchup, which I think is Boston, Oklahoma City. What do you think? Is that the most likely matchup for you?
Yeah, at this point, I don't think anyone should sleep on Cleveland, but Cleveland has not been there before. They haven't been to a conference final since the LeBron day. This is their first non-LeBron team that's been, like, legit.
Anywhere.
Let's see how they, under the pressure, whether guys like Garland and Mobley and Allen can get to a conference finals and how they'll perform. They're a great team, though. They're very well-rounded team. Now they got DeAndre Hunter. So don't sleep on Cleveland. I know they don't get a whole bunch of national games. And I know that kind of two-game thing with Oklahoma City where they kind of won it in the fourth quarter in Cleveland and they got blown out in Oklahoma City. But I think they're a team to watch, and they're 5.5 up with, I don't know, 27, 28 to play. So they're likely to clinch that number one seed. So they're going to have home court advantage. And I don't know if you saw, Vinny, they changed the name of that damn arena again.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not Quicken Loans. It's something else.
No, it's not Gund Arena as it used to be. It's not, now it's Rocket, like.
Rocket Mortgage, Dan Gilbert, Rocket Mortgage.
Yeah, they changed that name a lot.
But
to me, Cleveland's not to be slept on. The Knicks, you know, 0-5 or 0-2 against the Celtics. They play again on Sunday. I mean, I just don't have a lot of faith in the Knicks. I just think Towns is a big game, big money player. We've never really seen it. Like, let's look at the Western Conference Finals last year where Luka just got, you know. So one thing about Luka, and I'm a big Luka guy, that dude's a MF. And
yes.
And he's like, oh, I'm the best player in this damn series. So Ant-Man, sit down. Cat, you can't come out here and guard me. And Rudy Gobert, don't even try it. I'm going to laugh at you while hitting a three in your face. So to me, I'm not sure about the Knicks yet, but I like Cleveland, you know, but let's see how Cleveland deals with this play and being a favorite when they deal with the playoff pressure.
Yeah, I think in talking to some players a little bit behind the scenes over the weekend, they think Oklahoma City can get got. Like they think, oh yeah, let's see what happens when the ball swings to the corner to you, Lou Dort or Isaiah Joe or whatever. You're going to hit that shot in December. Can you hit that shot in May? Yeah. Just fascinated by that. Yeah. Now, Gary, what is the finals matchup that's going to generate or that would generate the highest ratings?
It would probably be Lakers-Celtics or Lakers-Knicks. Anything with the Lakers, obviously. As much as we love the West is treacherous, Oklahoma City, I'm sure those folks down at the NBA offices are like, we love the Thunder, but damn it, we don't want to see them bastards in the finals. How much ratings is that going to get? As much as SGA is a legitimate star. We're not talking about KD, Russ, and Harden here.
Yeah,
We're talking about SGA and their second best, you know, Jalen Williams, who's not really a guy who's going to, a lot of household NBA fans know.
Yeah.
From Holmgren. And then there's the Grizz, Ja, but it's the Grizz are, you know, they're still that grind team. The Nuggets will attract some attention, but I just think the most sizzle would be the Lakers against the Celtics or the Lakers against the Knicks, because obviously anything with LeBron and now LeBron and Luka, I mean, you think the NBA is not doing backflips hoping that Luka can take this team on a playoff run? I know in 2020 when Luka single-handedly did Danny and the Miracles and carried Slovenia to the Olympics, NBC was doing backflips that Luka was on that Olympic stage and they could put Luka on TV against, you know, South Sudan, whoever they were playing.
Right.
You know, Luka gets the ratings. Luka has the fan interest. Luka is, he's special in terms of his international popularity and even popularity in the United States.
Yeah, I think. I agree with you. Lakers, Knicks, Lakers, Celtics. I would say don't sleep on Steph Curry still being must-see TV in Golden State. Like, people would still want to see them.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like, that sort of thing. Now, last one for me, G. This is the fun one. Finals matchup that would cause the most chaos.
Oh, boy. Let me think here. Wow.
Would the Knicks be chaotic? Would Milwaukee be chaotic? You know what I mean? I don't know if chaos can happen in the East. I think chaos can happen in the West. I think another Boston Golden State final would be chaotic.
Yes.
Because of the storylines, you know what I'm saying, and everything else. I think, look, if we're talking chaos, Boston Houston, baby, Ime's return on all of the levels.
Boy, oh my goodness. Yeah, that would be chaotic. I mean, you know. Wow, that's a good question. I mean, in the East, there just isn't any, you know, there's no, the Knicks, you could probably say, because it's New York and there would just be so much hype.
Yeah.
You know, if the Knicks ever made it back to the finals, I mean, obviously they haven't been there since 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know,
Knicks Lakers.
Yeah. Because that, you know, and then you got Luka at the Garden and LeBron at the Garden. And you know, because anytime with the you include the Garden, it's going to be chaotic. But the West teams, I just don't like Golden State. Yeah. But do you think Golden State's going to crawl all the way up from 10 to get to the final? Like Draymond thinks so.
Yeah.
Draymond did a Pat Riley at the championship parade in 1987.
Yeah,
talking about we gonna do it, win it again. But to me, I don't have enough faith in Golden State to get all.
Too much logic. We just talking about chaos, baby. We just talking about Jimmy Butler. Going on a crazy run with Steph Curry Draymond Green.
Yes. I would say, Golden State and the Knicks, maybe.
Yes. Golden State and the Knicks. Yes. That is the chaos. That is the Garden versus everything else. That is Jimmy Butler and Karl Towns. That's Jimmy Butler and Tom Thibodeau. That is Steph Curry in the Garden, again, where he broke the three-point record, where he had 54. It's a lot there. I think Knicks-Warriors is the final series that causes the most chaos, and the league might actually be rooting for even more than the Lakers.
Oh, my God, they would love that.
They would love that. Yes, I mean, I'm serious. Exactly.
We ain't talking about how much of a fool Draymond would act. We ain't talking about Draymond like finals
acting
Draymond.
A plum fool at Madison Square Garden. He might kick somebody out of a chair. He might kick Spike Lee in his seat.
Exactly. They might even let Charles Oakley back into the Garden to handle Draymond.
Give Draymond some straightening. Give Draymond a second thought over there. Don't try nothing. We got the boogeyman over there. The Oak Man. Now, we get one last thing about it. We're going to take a break here. I'm going to ask him about Anthony Edwards. Very curious question. You listen to The Good Word here on Yahoo Sports. Time for the last word here on the show with Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe. Gary, Anthony Edwards has gone out of his way, almost nearly out of his way, to say, Victor Wembanyama, he's the face of the league. He's the guy that can turn it around. And someone asked him, do you want to be the face of the league? He said, no. I am shocked. I'm not shocked, Gary. He's adamant that he doesn't want to be the face of the league. We all want him to take the mantle. He's young, charismatic. He's got that Michael Jordan Southern charm to him. He's got the game that is very attractive to everybody. He flies through the air and everything else, but he doesn't want it. Gary, how do we react to that?
I think it's a good thing for the league because Anthony needs some refining, right?
That's his concern.
He needs some brand management. He needs to polish himself a little bit in terms of how he deals with social media. Like, I love the whole, like, I'm going to sit in a chair, no shirt on, and just talk to the media and just shoot straight. I think that's great.
He's authentic.
Yes. I wish other players in our league would be so open and honest, but also being open and honest and sometimes too honest. And sometimes we all know Anthony got a personal life that he might need to kind of get together a little bit. You hear things. So the face of the league, I don't think he's ready for that. Because you don't want your face in the league to be kind of messy. And Ant-Man is an amazing player, and he's charismatic, and he's got everything, but he just needs a little bit of polish. Like, he's got it. It gets too messy for him at times. Some of the things he said on social media, some of the personal things. So I think it's good. He's like, hey, I'm not capable of that. Like, if a dude sees and views himself accurately, we all want people to be accountable. We all want people to say, nah, I ain't for this. You know, because everybody thinks they're capable of anything. You can dream. You can do everything you want to do. Everybody thinks they're capable. You know, everybody thinks they Michael Jordan and LeBron James. Everybody, you know, we deal with journalists who think they're ready to work at ESPN. They're 19 years old. We all can dream. But for Anthony to realistically say, I like to hoop. And I got a good personality, but I ain't ready for that pressure of being Mike. I ain't ready for that pressure of being Bron. I applaud that because And as much, I think Anthony needs the prop, and he's 22.
Like, yeah, 22. Yeah, he's a kid. That's the thing, Gary. He's a kid. He's 23 years old.
Young guy, and mm-hmm. you know, these young guys come into the league and they live grown man lives with all the obligations and the off court life and the partying and the NBA life is not for the faint of heart. Like, you got to have some discipline and a great support system. And if you really don't, it could be very hard to manage both sides, playing hoop and trying to keep your personal life in check. So,
yeah, social media element of it gets a little messy, like you said, a little sticky, unfortunately. And I think Ant is aware of that. Like, when I think Ant also knows that the league needs him, but he also is self-aware enough to know that there's only so much that he can fulfill, because he knows he can't authentically be himself and carry the league on his back. That's one thing that I don't think we give LeBron James enough credit
for. He's an honest guy. He's not a good guy.
You say he's not a bad guy.
No, he's not a bad guy. He's not a bad guy. No.
He's not a squeaky great. Clean image. When you say good guy, you say not a squeaky clean image.
He ain't Will Smith in 2000. He's not the guy that's going to come in and just, hey, how you doing? He's not shaking hands and kissing babies. Like, and as much as the league would love that, and I think Ant-Man eventually at 25, 26, 27 could be that guy. But you got to let him mature and grow on his own. And obviously, he could go and get some polish and just figure out, okay. And I think I don't ever want him to stop being honest, because I think it's good that he's honest. But I also think it's good that he's assessing himself and saying, yeah, like, look at Victor, you know, charismatic, multilingual. I think I saw him at the thing speak Spanish and speak French, in addition to being fluent in English. Good looking guy, you know, just he's playing everything right. He's pushing all the right buttons. Whoever is molding and helping Victor is making great calls, because Victor has not had a mishap yet. He keeps to himself. He carried the All-Star mantle and said, yeah, I want to play hard in this thing. He didn't get caught up. He wasn't out. We didn't hear no stories about his first All-Star experience as a player. Nothing. Victor is doing what he's supposed to be doing. That's a guy that the face of the league needs to be. Maybe not crystal clean, but just a guy who gets it. And Ant-Man, I think, understands, like, I'm a kid from Atlanta. I'm just loving this. And honestly, like, I don't know if I'm ready for that responsibility. And I think that's fair for him to say.
Yeah. Look, one, got to be the face of the league, I'm going to say the thing. You've got to have Nike on your side. For one, you got to have Nike on your side. That's Victor Wembanyama. Like you said, it's all the other things. You got to have some pedigree. I'm curious if the league will invest in an international player as a face of the league. But I think the league is in such a spot where whoever wants it will be the face of the league. It's not something that the league will anoint. Kevin Durant doesn't want it. Excuse me. So they never put him on that pedestal of responsibility. Steph Curry kind of slid into it, and he was fine with it, and the league embraced it because he was a contrast to, you know, Superman LeBron. But that's a story for another day. It's very fascinating. Someone has to be it, and the league wants someone to be it. They're just not sure whoever the hell it's going to be. But my man G, Gary Washburn, the Boston Globe, man, really, really appreciate you joining me today, man.
Always, Vinny. Anytime, man. Oh, man, you're a wealth of knowledge for a guy who is obviously young, still young, me, one of my young guys. Your knowledge of the league, just what you do is the way it's supposed to be done, man. You know the 80s. You respect the 80s, even though it's the decade you were born in. You don't look back and be, that was 2 years old. I don't remember that. Like, you go back and watch the 86 All-Star game. You watch the 87 All-Star game. Like, much respect to honoring those before you and the league before you. The league did not start for Vinny in 1999. That's a wonderful thing, because some of these young cats you talk to and they're like, yeah, I don't remember that. That was 2001. No, I'm good. I was in sixth grade. I don't do that. Like, no, the league has enough information, enough footage to study the 80s and study the olden days and realize how great some of these dudes were.
I appreciate you for that, man. Thank you again for Gary Washburn. Thanks to producer Dakota and the entire team behind the scenes who works hard on this show. I'll be back in a couple of days with my man Dan Titus. Until then, everybody be safe.